Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast. I'm your co-host, John Bautista. We hope that you guys are having a great week. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the famous cultural statement of once a cheater, always a cheater. My question is, man, is that really true? Is that something that we can really hold on to? And what Kim's going to do today is hopefully address and define some of the terms, what to look out for, and hopefully for us to be a little bit more savvy in our relationships. Coming up next on today's episode. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and or mental illness. Hey, Kim, welcome to the show today.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
It's going.
Can I tell you something? You remind me of a friend that I have. And she goes to college with me. But anyways, you just remind me of a friend that I have. I think it's the smile.
Well, thanks. It's good to see you, too. I was just told that I have the face that a lot of people think they know someone by. You know what I'm talking about? Like, a lot of people will think they've seen me before or knew me from before. I hear that.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too. I'm just kidding. I don't. Yeah. So what I'm going to bring to the table today is I was watching a Netflix reality TV show called Love is Blind. And the point of the show is kind of an experiment where people get engaged and potentially marry each other simply based off of an emotional connection. Now, halfway through the show, they end up seeing each other and seeing if their emotional connection, you know, matches up with everything else. There was this one couple that the girl, after being engaged, found out that her fiance previously cheated on one of his girlfriends. And from that point on, the girl really had a hard time connecting with him, trusting with him, really for anything. And so I guess my question for you is, there are some people that say once a cheater, mm-hmm. always a cheater. And I'm wondering, is it that simple? Can somebody trust again? Does someone always have to cheat? Like, is it just something that they will do inevitably because they've done it in the past?
Well, it depends. It's not a yes or no kind of question. But is a cheater always a cheater? No, a cheater is not always a cheater, but there's a big but there, right? That's a tough one to get past. And if someone's willing to cross that line, then they have it in them to do it. So how do you know? And I'm always stunned when people cheat and find each other through cheating.
Yeah, that's.
And then I'm like, how are you going to trust that this person, and how can they trust you that you're going to stick when something, you know, if they've cheated once, how are you going to?
Right. I've had a few couples where the basis of their relationship was founded on both of them being cheaters. And as they're going through their relationship, you know, 1 or 2 years in, there's a sense of a distrust, and they don't know how to get over it.
Right. And at the same time, I've worked with people who there was an affair, and they worked through it and they lived happily ever after, so to speak, where that was never an issue again. And so how do you know the difference? That's a tough one. Listen, is a cheater always a cheater? No, but boy, would the red flags be up and would I be extra vigilant in trying to figure a lot of things out? Because, like I said, something, let's say it happened to you that you're with someone and they cheated on you. That's a lot. There's a lot of feelings involved in that, right?
There is.
Being left, being rejected, being betrayed, building trust again. There's a lot to get through to get past that. And it should not, what worries me is when it's done too quickly and people are, you know, wanting to get past the affair and not wanting to face a life of divorce, that they will forgive too quickly and too easily and not get in and do the deep work of figuring out what happened there.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about the person who was betrayed. Their tendency is to, because they don't want things to end, they'd rather just go ahead and forgive and forget in some sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in some sense. I mean, I've saw a couple years ago where she found out he had an affair at work and they had sex the night she found out.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. She was hurt, devastated, took her months and months to get past it, but she was desperate not to lose the relationship.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's moving really quickly, right? And so that would raise concerns for me. But I mean, what does it say about your integrity? Your the kind of person you are if you cheat on your spouse?
Yeah, that's a really tough question, just because if, when I think about a person, I try not to define them based off of one moment or one blip in their life. Like they're one, even if it's a few times, I try not to say, this is what you're characterized to me as, you know? But I do mm-hmm. think that cheating can be a symptom of something deeper, of something else that might be going on. So I think that if I were to experience somebody cheating on me now, these days, I'd probably, you know, wonder, what was the need? Like what kind of need were you trying to fulfill? And I'd start there. I wouldn't necessarily be still all in, you know, like you said, my guard's up. And as, you know, Lauren in our training said, you're kind of walking in the jungle, always afraid that the tiger's going to come out and eat you, right? This sense mm-hmm. of anxiety, of fear of being betrayed again. And so all those flags will pop up for me.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of reasons why people cheat. Some people cheat because they have a love addiction, this feeling of wanting to be in a new relationship or wanting to be wanted and needed. Some people cheat because they have a sex addiction. Some people cheat because they are so conflict avoidant and they don't know how to get their needs met in the marriage they're in or the relationship they're in. So they'll look outside of the marriage. And so if someone's willing to do the deep work of figuring out why they were in a situation where they allowed that to happen, I'm much more open, I think, to moving on with that person than I am of somebody who is just wanting to minimize it and say, it was just a thing. It was a mistake. It was a thing that just happened.
Yeah, that'd be really hard. If someone says it's a mistake, it's just a thing that happened. It's like, no, there's always a wind up to the swing.
That's right. There's a wind up to the swing. That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
All right. You know, things are occurring before, unattended to in the background for the circumstance to occur. So,
an affair is a very narcissistic move.
Talk more about that.
Well, what you are thinking only about yourself. You're not thinking about your partner or your kids or your family or what you're doing to them. You're thinking very much about what you want, how you want, when you want it. It's a very selfish, narcissistic move. That doesn't mean that everybody that has an affair is a narcissist.
Right.
But it's incredibly one-up, what we call one-up behavior, which is offensive to other people. And the people who have affairs and justify it with my partner's not this or not that or whatever, you know, there's always those out there. And those aren't the ones that are doing the work. Anybody can be stupid. Anybody can do a dumb thing, can choose in a moment of weakness or get themselves in a relationship at work or with someone that they're with a lot where they start to have feelings for someone else.
Yeah.
And can act on that. Somebody told me once you have to decide if you've got a good person who's done a bad thing or a bad person who's doing bad things.
Oh, wow. That's a really interesting statement.
A good person who's done a good person who's done a bad thing can be stupid, right? They can use poor judgment. They can make a horrible decision and get caught up in it. This goes against their moral code. It goes against their ethics. They're going to have a great amount of remorse for it at some point, you know, and shame for it. And if they can have appropriate shame for their behavior, there's hope that that person will change and will not be a serial cheater.
Compared to somebody who maybe has other areas of their life to where they're crossing the line in other areas of their life. So this is another area of life that they can cross, or they feel like they can cross and get away with.
Yeah. They just don't want to get caught. They just don't want to get caught.
So,
you know, and so knowing who you're married to, knowing which kind of person you have is critical, I think, to protecting yourself. And if you're not sure, because the hardest part is finding out your partner's cheated, is realizing what's real, what's not real. I thought I knew this person. Now I don't think I know this person at all.
Yeah. And that's right. That's a really helpful thing to point out, because we tend to gravitate towards each other and it all be about romance and feeling wanted and things like that. But then we forget, like, there's other aspects to the person. There's how they treat others. It's how they treat themselves, how they think about life and what they think about people. And there's all these other things that compile the person, and we don't do a, I don't want to say good enough job, but like, we don't do a more thorough job in filtering out the people that we get close to.
Right.
So in answering the question, is he a cheater or not, or is a cheater always a cheater? I would probably say one of the things that we can point to is, like you were saying, is this a good person that did a bad thing, or is this a bad person doing bad things?
Yeah. How do they treat you in other aspects of their life? Are they honest in other areas? How do they treat other people? Are they conscientious? Are they caring? Not manipulative, not charming.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes cheaters are very charming. Watch out for that. Charming scares me. But I want authenticity, but I want kindness. And so, but some cheaters, I mean, are just incredibly emotionally immature people. And so can they grow up? Yes. But that might have to cost them something first. And that something may be you. Because you don't want to put yourself frivolously into a relationship with someone who can do that to you again.
Wow. Right?
You have to protect your heart and your body and your health.
Mm-hmm.
Mental and physical.
And what do you mean by somebody who is emotionally immature? Like, if I were to ask, what are some of the signs of somebody emotionally immature in a relationship that maybe could do this, what would that look like?
That's a great question. That would look like somebody who lies a lot about little things. That's emotional immaturity in a relationship. That could look like somebody who doesn't know how to show up as an adult in the relationship or ask for what they want, doesn't know how to ask you for what you want, doesn't know how to express themselves in an emotionally mature way. So they're not, you know, it's not always a fight with a bunch of yelling and screaming or pouting, or, you know what I mean? Like, this is somebody that knows how to emotionally regulate and can sit down and have an adult conversation. I mean, you'd be shocked how many people can't manage that. And so emotional immaturity in a relationship can look like a lot of things, but it can look like being controlling. It can look like not being okay to be alone. I have to have somebody there with me all the time. I have to have somebody there that makes me feel like I'm a good person or tells me I'm okay before I can feel okay. I mean, you know, that's a very broad spectrum of that.
Yeah. And I just wanted like the people, like the listeners to kind of get a sense of what that could look like, how that could show up or express itself in the relationships. I think a lot of what I hear is somebody who is emotionally immature, kind of summing up what you just said, is probably somebody who shows signs of codependency.
Sure.
Yeah, does not take responsibility, and is not able to communicate what they need and what they want, and then asking for their partner to tell them what they need and what they want.
Yeah. Somebody who is married but doesn't act like they want to be married. They're always going out with their friends and putting their energies in other things before their partner or their marriage. I mean, we could start a really long list of all the ways to be emotionally immature.
Yeah.
But if I've got a partner who's cheated on me, if they want to stay married, they're going to have to do the long, hard work of figuring that out. And if they're not willing to do that, then I'm not willing to give them another chance.
Yeah.
Because it's not a kiss and make up and pretend this didn't happen again.
And for the people that are in relationships, I would say the same thing. I mean, even if you're not married, but you're in it and you're thinking about potentially marrying this person that you're with, if they're not able mm-hmm. to own up to something and do the work to get through it, then maybe that relationship may not be worth it.
Maybe it's not.
And we're not saying that people aren't worth it. We're saying that the combination and what was introduced to the relationship, a vulnerability in that relationship, if they're not able to make an adult decision and ownership and saying, this is what I brought into it. We have to do this together. If they're not willing to do that work.
One of the first things that I would look for is somebody who's blaming somebody else for the affair.
Ooh.
That's a really good sign to me that they're not ready, that they're not emotionally mature enough to chance this again.
That's good.
I had an affair because my wife didn't have sex with me. I had an affair because my husband worked too much, didn't come home enough. I had an affair because whatever, instead of I had an affair because I was an idiot. You know, I had an affair because I made a really dumb choice or I got caught up in something before I realized where this was headed. If they aren't able to take real ownership of that, that's a big red flag.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blaming someone else for their choices. So,
what if somebody has a history of having partners cheat on them? And they're in a relationship once again that there's infidelity and it just happens again. What would you recommend somebody in that position?
It'd be time to really look at why you think you deserve so little that you're with the kind of people that do this. What are you missing? There's got to be signs of disrespect along the way that you've excused, brushed off, minimized, turned a blind eye to, and that's not me blaming that person. It's just saying you deserve so much better. You deserve someone's attention and respect. And it's so important to know that about yourself and what that looks like so that when you're not getting that from someone, you know you're not getting it.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. There was some couples that I had in session where there was infidelity, and within session, in front of their partner, we continued to do the work on valuing ourselves enough to say how much this hurt and what they need,
mm-hmm.
what they need their partner to do in order to feel some sense of safety.
You know, some people love bomb in a relationship. Do you know what love bombing is?
I do, but if you can go ahead and define it, because I think a lot of people, especially people on Instagram, man, I see so many slides of definitions and I'm like, that's not even it. So can you define it for us?
So love bombing is when someone is inundating you with positive attention, whether it's compliments or gifts or whatever. They really know how to bring on the charm. It's usually very charming, that makes you feel like you're special really quickly and usually really soon in a relationship. And when you get love bombed, it's really easy to feel very good when you're with that person or have access to that person. And so it's easy to turn a blind eye to the red flags. Love bombing is a great, it's a straw man though. And it's usually, I'm not saying that it's never an innocent, enthusiastic response from someone, but it's a huge red flag because it covers up a multitude of sins.
So just to clarify that, she's not saying that when people show affection or maybe even show a lot of affection early on, that doesn't necessarily mean someone's trying to manipulate somebody through positive attention. It's just saying that, hey, it's just asking you to be observant, maybe cautious.
Be observant and be cautious and monitor yourself in that. So you don't get too sucked in too quickly.
Yeah, man.
Well, and it's, you know, the love bombing. And so it's often inappropriate at inappropriate levels. It's very flattering though. So you have to be on the kind of the lookout for that. It's like too much too soon.
Yeah.
Too much too soon.
And to be mindful that we as people, we want to be wanted. Like that's just something that is in us, is that we desire to be desired. So to already know that about ourselves while entering a relationship that may be showing signs of love bombing, like that could be really helpful because you're trying to manage expectations and then also be cautious.
Yes. To be cautious, keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
But, you know, is a cheater always a cheater? Not necessarily no. But a cheater that gets off too easily without the hard work, you're asking for trouble.
That's good. So maybe the step that you're highlighting for us today is that if somebody does cheat, is there a sense of ownership and remorse? And are they willing to do the work, honest, authentic work, in order to keep the relationship and even nourish it?
Yes. And are you willing to do the authentic work too with them? Because there's a lot of dynamics that go on in a couple in a relationship that need to be looked at.
Oh, for sure.
How both of you are contributing to the dynamics that made this an environment where that could happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the way that the betrayed spouse has to now contribute differently to the relationship from the point of the betrayal, like that's going to take a lot of work.
It is going to take a lot of work. That's right.
And maybe next episode we'll talk about how to build trust.
Okay, let's do that.
That'd be good.
I trust that we will.
All right, guys, that wraps up this week's episode. We appreciate you guys tuning in to the Marriage Savvy Podcast. Man, we had a really good episode today talking about some of the nuances of this conversation of infidelity and cheating. The cultural statement wants us to be black and white, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater. But what we realize today is that there's a lot of nuance to it. There's emotional maturity that comes into play. There's potential narcissistic tendencies that come into play. There's, you know, is it a good person, you know, making a mistake and doing bad things? Or maybe is it a bad person doing bad things? So a lot of things that we caught from today's episode. We hope that you guys enjoyed it. Make sure you guys tune in next week because we're going to be talking about trust and how to build it even after infidelity. So my name is John Bautista, your co-host of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. You guys stay savvy out there, and we will see you guys next week. Peace.